Melech, thank you very much for inviting me, inviting Rav Shiner for the program. And thanks everyone for coming out on the night before Tisha B'Av. The thoughts that I'm going to present for the next 25, 30 minutes or so are a little bit out of character for me, in that they incorporate in them a little bit of what some might call Mussar. It's not Mussar for anybody here. It's Mussar for me, and I know that's a cliche, but it's still true. The Gemara in the Daf a little bit later this week is going to say, "Ezu Talmud Chacham Haroa Treifa La'atzmo," and one drash on that line is that a Talmud Chacham is somebody who sees the Treifa for himself first. He sees his own flaws first. So I aspire one day to become a Talmud Chacham, and so I have to practice at least in that trait. Because I think it is important. I think if all we take from the despondency of the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Shavuot Shechalvo and Tisha B'Av, you know, is a lower triglyceride count, then I think we have a problem. I think it would be an extreme failure. So, with that in mind, what I'm going to present really reflects comments that are relevant most to me, but, you know, if, as it happens, my flaws are a product of the human condition and therefore other people who are also humans can relate to them, then hopefully it'll be useful as well for you. I begin with the Gemara in source number one, or Gemara in Gittin, from the classic Tisha B'Av Gemara, describing the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Menyumi Bar Chilkiya, Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvia, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, three Chachamim are sitting. Havayasva Yabi Adadi, they're sitting together. Amri, and they said, Iika Dishmiya Le Milsa Mikfar Sachanya Shal Mitzrayim Lema. If anyone knows anything about Kfar Sachanya, Kfar Sachnia of Egypt, let him speak. There's a whole story behind Kfar Sachnia in its own right, but not for right now. I'll let the historians handle that. But tell us a little bit about this this community of Kfar Sachnia. So each of them relates a story geared towards telling of the righteousness of the people in the city. This was apparently a Jewish population of extreme tzidkus, extreme righteousness. And so, after the stories are told, Amarle Abaye le Rabbi Yosef, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, until later generation, hearing the stories, he says, "Umayachar David tzadikim kulei hai, if they were so righteous, my time e anush, why were they punished?" Because we believe this refers to a punishment that occurs in the years 115 to 117 or so of the Common Era, a pogrom in Egypt. This was a community that had great number of Jews going back to before Alexandria was founded, and the community was leveled. Josephus puts the dead at about 50,000. So the question is, if they're so righteous, you describe them as having been so great, what happened? What went wrong? Why were they punished? And Rav Yosef answered, "Mishum Deloi Abel Al Yerushalayim." They did not mourn for Jerusalem. And he quotes the pasuk, "Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bakala haveha." Be glad with Yerushalayim, rejoice in her, all who love her, rejoice with her, all who mourn for her. You have to mourn for Yerushalayim in order to merit to celebrate. And so, the statement from Rav Yosef is, the people of Kfar Sachnia are killed out in a horrible pogrom as a punishment for not mourning for Yerushalayim. And the Maharal says, the not having Yerushalayim is like a body without a heart, and it can't survive. But I don't understand. Because if they were such tzaddikim, if they were so righteous, and if not mourning for Yerushalayim is so terrible, then how were they guilty of it? How do you fail to mourn for Yerushalayim if you're such wonderful people? So Rav Yaakov Moshe Lessin, who was the Mashkiach Ruchni at YU, he was also the father-in-law of Rav Victor Miller, based on the Gemara in Ksuvo, says, well, it's on the level that they were at. The level that they were at, their mourning for Yerushalayim was not appropriate. But I'd like to suggest three more approaches, all based on classic sources, which I think should resonate with us today. The first approach, based on the Gemara itself in Gittin, is that they were insensitive to the impact of the loss of Yerushalayim. They were insensitive to what was happening. The Gemara in Gittin, in source number 2, describes the Jews of that period of the first century of the Common Era as being unaware of what was happening to them, of not realizing the loss that they were actually suffering at that time. Amar Rabbi Yochanan invokes a pasuk, "May dichsiv ashrei adam mefachei tamid umakshali libo yipol bara." What does it mean when the pasuk says, "Fortunate is one who is always afraid; someone who hardens his heart will fall into evil"? What does that mean? So he describes the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the story of a chicken and a rooster, the story of the axle of a wagon. All three stories are explained in the Gemara, stories in which things happened to the Jews, which had the Jews thought, you know what, something terrible is going to happen from this, they never would have done what they did, but they acted in certain ways, and the result was great devastation. They didn't realize the danger that they were in. And that's one approach, that the Jews didn't recognize where things were going. If you take a look at the Maharal, he applies this to the people of Kfar Sachanya. He says, "Kimikach habracha shahaya sham lo haya lahem rak simcha." They had a wonderful community. They had thousands and thousands of Jews. They said, "Nothing could ever happen to us. Nothing is ever going to go wrong." And the result was, they lived with simcha. They lived only with joy. "Ulefichach avkasha roi lihisavala Yerushalayim lo haya zeh." And therefore, even when they should have mourned, they didn't. We know that the destruction of Yerushalayim took a heavy toll not just on Yerushalayim, but on Jewish communities elsewhere. Kfar Sachanya is identified in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah as a place actually where early Christianity took hold. There was a great deal of minus there in that city. Kfar Sachanya suffered, but they didn't realize it. They didn't realize what was going to happen to them. They weren't sensitive to it. If you take a look at source number 4, you see Rav Yaakov Emdin in his Siddur. I brought two pieces there. The first paragraph of it is from his introduction to the Siddur, and the second is from his Laws of Tisha B'Av. He writes, this is Rav Yaakov Emdin talking 300 years ago, not talking back in Kfar Sachanya, but I think what he says relates backward and relates to our own day. He says, "Ki ata ein sam alev mevakesha havasa." He says, no one pays attention, wishing to love her, meaning Yerushalayim, seeking her peace and welfare, longing to see her. "In our peace in exile," he says, "it appears as though we have already found another Israel, another Yerushalayim like her. And this is why all of the bad events," sorry, I should have written events, "befall us." He says, "Ilmale lohaya ela avon zebiadenu, she'ein misablin al Yerushalayim karaoi." He says, if just this sin of failing to mourn Yerushalayim properly was on our hands, that alone, that would suffice to extend our exile. That alone, all the other explanations we hear about why we are in Galus, he says, if it's just the fact that we don't mourn properly, that in and of itself is sufficient. And he says, "V'hi be'enai hasiba krova hayozer guluya atzuma v'chazaka l'chalashmados hagedolos hanoraos hamavhilos harayonim asher mitzaunu bagalus." It's the most obvious, the greatest, the most powerful immediate cause for all of the great, terrible, frightening destructions which have found us in exile. He says, we forgot Yerushalayim. You know, someone told me this week, it was a Rav in a certain part of Toronto. He was talking to me about the shilohs that he gets during the 9 days. And if I do this, this, and this, will I be able to eat meat? Or can I go to this circus? Can I go to this whatever? And you have to stop and say to yourself, if we're looking for ways around the 9 days, doesn't that perhaps say something about our experience? Right? Rachmana Litzlan, when a person is in Shiva, as a general rule, they don't say, "Well, wait a minute, can I find a way to go to a circus?" You know, that's not where their minds are. But that's what's happened, is that we put ourselves into this state in which you know, the 9 days become something to circumvent. And that's a terrible thing. And that's one level here. Then there's a second level. And the second level is terrible in its own right. It is an issue of self-righteousness. If you take a look at source number 5, the Hebrew's on the bottom of one side, I put the English at the top of the next side. this is an excerpt. I excised out the psukim which are brought here because it would have simply been too long. But you can look at it and see, and you can look up the source, and then you'll see the full source. Rabbi Avo says, "Lo charva Yerushalayim ela bishvil shebitlu kriyas shema shachris va'arvis." Yerushalayim was destroyed because they nullified the recitation of Shema morning and evening. Rav Hamnuna says, "L'charva Yerushalayim ela bishvil shebilu batinoko shel beis rabban." Yerushalayim was destroyed because they didn't send the kids to learn Torah. Ula says it's destroyed shelo hayalem boshes panim zemizeh. There was no shame. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Bishvil shehushvu katon v'gadol." They treated the small and the great equally. Rav Amram Breid, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abban, there's a long succession of names there. They say shelo hochichu zedzeh. They didn't rebuke each other. Shebizu batamidei chachamim, because they degraded Torah scholars. There were no people there who were trustworthy. If you take a look at source number 6, another example in the Gemara Bava Metzia, they demanded Torah law, meaning they didn't transcend the letter of the law when relating to each other. We are familiar with any number of lines from the Gemara that explain why it is that Yerushalayim was destroyed. Right? People are most familiar with sinas chinam as the cause, baseless hatred. All sorts of explanations for why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why do the Chachamim engage in this calculus? Why do they say, well, it's because of this and it's because of that? What are they trying to teach us? Sorry?
Many causes.
Yeah. That's what we're doing now, right? They give us many causes, right? Everyone has a different explanation, but it's meant to teach us about how we're supposed to behave. That's why the Gemara does it. That's why the Gemara gives us these reasons. But calculations like this are also very dangerous, because sometimes we look for the reasons people suffer. Ethical reasons, halachic reasons, moral reasons, practical reasons, not as a means of correcting wrongs, but as a means of absolving ourselves of guilt for not helping. Right? Whether it's the person who we say, well, that person angered Hashem because he didn't show love for somebody else or he spoke Lashon Hara. Or the person who built his house in the earthquake zone, and therefore why do I need to send money to help him? He should have realized that was going to happen. Or the person who comes to my door asking for money because he has 12 children and he's learning in Kollel, and now he realizes he has no means to marry them off. So I say to myself, well, if he had a job, then whatever. You know, it's one thing to identify problems in order to fix them. It's quite another to identify problems so that I feel less guilty about not extending a hand. If you take a look at source number 7, I reproduced it at length because it was a huge, huge statement. This is from Rav Shlomo Kluger, the more famous Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Maggid of Brody and one of the premier halachic authorities of the last 300 years. This is his grandson. His grandson lost his mother first and then his father a few months later. And he published a sefer with several articles in it, and one of them was the eulogy that he gave for his father. And this piece comes from the eulogy that he gave for his father. And it's very powerful words. He says, "Amnam kozei yitachein b'mikra la'adam prate prati ason hanogei arak el atzmo ubisaro." As kolasher yiras Hashem noses a bekir ba mechuyev lahatzdig olav es hadin ulevarech al hara kemo al hatova. He says, if a person suffers a tragedy himself, it just affects him, so then that person is obligated to say, Hashem did this to me for a reason, the reason is X, and I have to thank Hashem for everything he does, whether it's something I enjoy or whether it's something that I don't enjoy. That's what a person does for himself. And he says, Zed derech kol ish yashar holech. That's the way of any person who walks a straight path, lisbol b'menuchas nefesh kol atlos habos alav. To absorb and to suffer with peace and with calm all the things that happened to him. Achein, however, showed vashever im yikru v'yesayu al ish v'al b'nei adam yachad. Az ein le ha'ish ha'hu, Av kipigi asma nirsu bo yesami bizulaso, largia asrukhola valyetsu lo bitsaras achirim. He says, if the problem, if the tragedy befalls me and somebody else, if it affects a community, then it's not all right for me to say, you know what, this is Hashem's will. This is simply what happened, and this is simply what befell us, because that was the divine decree. He says, this is a repugnant trait and an ugly path. You can't accept with love the suffering of other people. It's a terrible thing. And he quotes the Gemara in Tanis, Bizman she Yisrael Shri and Bitsar, Upiresh Achan Mehem. If a person separates from the community when the community is in pain, Baim Shnei Malachi Ashari Sumanichim Yedeim Al Rosho, Ploni Zeshapirish Minat Tzibur Al Yira Benechamas Tzibur. The two Malachim come along, and they put their hands on his head, and they say, this person separated from the community, let him not see the comfort of the community. And then Rav Shlomo Kluger applies this to the story of Parsachanya. He says, you know what happened with Parsachanya? These people who were so righteous, they were such tzaddikim, and yet they didn't mourn for Yerushalayim? It's because they were such tzaddikim. They saw what happened. They saw the devastation, and they said to themselves, you know what? The reason why there's such devastation is because of all the reasons we just saw in the Gemara and Shabbos. Because they didn't send the kids to yeshiva, because they didn't say Shema, because of Sinas Chinam, because they didn't give Musar, because, right? All of these reasons are behind everything. And so therefore, even though there are other people sitting there in pain, it doesn't really hurt. Because after all, we know this is the divine decree. And that's crossing a line, says Rav Shlomo Kluger. He says, that's crossing a line. You can't do that when you're dealing with somebody else, and that's the Lo Yihabal al Yerushalayim. When we forget the human cost, and instead we look to blame this group or to blame that group, we doom ourselves. Yes, the calculations are correct, but they're also horribly incorrect. They're correct when we use them as a means of correcting ourselves, but they're terribly incorrect if they become a means of distancing ourselves from suffering. And so that's a second point. And then my third and last point, and that is perhaps the strongest reference here, the issue of jealousy. There is one group of people, one group that is identified classically as Sonei Yerushalayim, haters of Yerushalayim. And that group is the Kutim. If you take a look at the Rambam in his comments to the Mishnah and the Darim, one line there in source number 8, Umafursam b'chol ha'olam sha'akutim misavim es Yerushalayim umeganim osa. It's well known that the Kutim, they abhor Yerushalayim, they hate Yerushalayim, and they mock her, they degrade her. Basiba l'kach nisbara b'sefer Ezra, and the reason for that comes from Sefer Ezra. And what he's talking about is the story of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Kutim he refers to here are also known as the Shomronim, the people who were moved in by the Assyrians. When the Assyrians exiled the 10 northern tribes, they moved in a group into the Shomron, who became known as Shomronim, became known as Samaritans. There's some question, did they convert to Judaism? Did they not convert to Judaism? What was their status? The time came when the Persians permitted the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Kutim said, we want to build it also. But what they had in mind was that they were going to turn it for their Avodah Zarah. They wanted to be able to worship what they wanted to worship in the Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra says to them, no way. You don't belong in this Beis HaMikdash. Lo lachem v'lanu livnos bayis le'elokeinu. It's not for you and us to build a house for our God. That's not the way it works. And the Kutim are resentful. They go to the Persians. They try to prevent the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And there's a war, Ladoros, for generations between them and the Jews. They are identified as Sonei Yerushalayim, haters of Yerushalayim, because they were jealous. Well, take a look at the Marsha, please, in source number 9. The Marsha, Shmuel Edels, says, Lefisha hayu anshe Yerushalayim yodam al sha'ar ayaros. He says, you know why the people in Kfar Sachanya did not mourn Yerushalayim? The reason was because the people of Yerushalayim had the upper hand over other cities, bekama devarim, in various ways. Bechachma, in wisdom, uba aliyas and l'regel, and for aliyah l'regel, he had to go up to Yerushalayim. Alkena Yusonin Osam Velonit Starum Al Palas Yerushalayim. And so people hated them, the Marsha says. The Marsha does not say the people of Parsachanya failed to mourn enough. As Rav Lessin said, on their level they weren't mourning. That's not what the Marsha says. And the Marsha does not say what I suggested first. Well, they were insensitive to the disaster. That's not the Marsha's approach. And he doesn't say it's because they found all sorts of explanations for why horrible things happened. That's not it either. He says they were jealous of Yerushalayim. And therefore, hayu son in osan, like the Kutim, they hated Yerushalayim. They hated it for the power that it had over them. They didn't want somebody else to be the main attraction. The truth is, jealousy of Yerushalayim is less seen today because Yerushalayim doesn't have the same halachic centrality. If anything, it's the place we long for, the place we long to be. It's hard to comprehend hatred of Yerushalayim. But it applies as a general phenomenon. If not resentment of Yerushalayim, it's resentment of those who have authority and primacy, of organizations, of leaders, of people who hold the position that Yerushalayim held then. And whether we're talking about Batei Din and Vadim, or whether we're talking about heads of Jewish organizations, or whether we're talking about the chief rabbinate in Israel, whatever it is, yes, there are legitimate complaints about anybody and everybody. I guarantee you. Work hard enough, you'll find something to complain about with anybody and everybody. But we have to guard ourselves against this sin. That person, that entity, has control over me, and therefore I am going to, and therefore I resent it, therefore I hate it. That's the guilt of Lo Yahalo Lo Yerushalayim. All three of these issues occur today. All three of these issues occur as we still mourn the Beis HaMikdash. It's now, I don't know, count from the year 68 to today. It's an awful lot of years. But the issues go on. Whether we're talking about the issue of insensitivity, not recognizing that we're in Golos, whether we're talking about the issue of trying to find reasons why people suffer and therefore having to decrease our responsibility for it, or whether we're talking about issues of jealousy of others and of their and of what they have. And again, I apologize, I'm referring for myself and not impugning anybody here. If it happens to resonate, so we're in the same boat. But these are things I think we need to correct. The Maharal promises us that it can be corrected. If you take a look at the last source, I quoted it earlier, but now you see it inside. He says, Shakasher haguf mechalek min halev, shalev hu kiyum shal adam v'az ein kiyum laguf. He says, when the body is separate from the heart that normally supports it, the body can't survive. Ein kiyum laguf. And therefore, when they didn't mourn for Yerushalayim, which is like the heart to the body, they were destroyed. But that also means that when we do mourn, when we do understand Yerushalayim as the heart, when we do correct these wrongs and really feel what it means to have lost Yerushalayim, then we restore the lev to the guf. We restore the heart to the body. And may we merit that when we do that, we'll see Binyan Beis HaMikdash.